With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Puerto Rico. This is the New World Report, and Puerto Rico in these last hours is badly damaged by Hurricane Fiona. The report we have is that the hurricane has strengthened to a Category 4 as it heads to Bermuda onto other islands in the Caribbean, leaving behind a Puerto Rico that is mostly in the dark, without electricity, importantly, without potable water. All water must be boiled at this point in order to use it. That is the recommendation. The rains continue. The storm was blamed for 4 direct deaths in its march, reports CBS News. Torrential rains. I mentioned what I've learned about rains in these last days of large typhoons in the Adriatic off of the Italian coast, or large storms called the negative Indian dipole, ocean dipole in Australia. That 1 degree warmer of centigrade of the atmosphere increases the amount of moisture held in clouds by 7%. That is offered as an explanation for these rain bombs, where a half a meter of rain can fall in 2 hours, overwhelming all infrastructure. I welcome Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute to comment not only on Puerto Rico being overwhelmed and what is to be done, FEMA's on the ground, the White House is engaged fully, but also to comment on the governance of Puerto Rico, because ironically and simultaneously with this news of the catastrophe, we have this. Puerto Rican officials have yet to finish repairs on the power grid 5 years after Hurricane Maria struck in 2017. On Tuesday, in other words, within these last hours, New York State Attorney General Letitia James called for a federal investigation into the island's main energy provider, LUMA Energy, LLC. Professor, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much for joining. You are fully informed of the Puerto Rico energy matter. I have come to it twice now, once at Maria 5 years ago and now with Fiona, and it's unsolved. Is there an explanation? Is there a remedy? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. What's happening with Fiona, first of all, a tragedy for the Puerto Rican people. I understand that only about 22% of power has been restored, and you know, many without water. And as you alluded to, you know, this, it hit Puerto Rico as a Category 1. It's now moved onto the Turks and Caicos, headed to the Bahamas and Bermuda before going up to Canada, it appears. But you know, this, as you alluded to, on top of what happened, the devastation of Hurricane Maria back in 2017 with almost 3,000 deaths. And actually on the anniversary of Hurricane Hugo back in 1989, which also hit as a Category 3. But there's, I think, two core issues in terms of understanding the dynamics of the region that are highlighted here in a broader sense. Number one, beyond Puerto Rico itself, the degree to which for the nations of the Caribbean, hurricanes and tropical storms really are at the level of a national security issue. In my previous work, I actually worked these with our Caribbean security partners. And, you know, this is something that they plan for. They have national response systems. But the extent to which we've seen this increase in the level of hurricanes and tropical storms in recent years, for example, 2020 was a record season with 13 hurricanes and over 30 named storms. Last year, you had 21 named storms. This hurricane season is believed to also be above normal and could even set new records, as we're already beginning to see with Fiona and apparently a tropical storm Gaston, which is forming you know, someplace out in the Atlantic. So the degree to which, whether it's climate change or otherwise, as you alluded to, you know, this really is something of core interest as a security issue and an economic issue across the Caribbean. But the second thing that you also alluded to is that, you know, this is really the intersection between what had been for many years questions of governance in Puerto Rico. And so the old public energy company, PREPA, had gone bankrupt. And so they had brought in what they thought was a credible private energy organization, LUMA, which has an uncomfortable interaction with the public. There's certain issues that LUMA can point to, that it inherited a problem of underinvestment and collapsing infrastructure. It can point to the fact that you had various demands on LUMA, for example, that they have to get 40% of their energy from renewables by 2025. They got to phase out coal. But on the other hand, also legitimate questions about the increase in the levels of blackouts, the length of blackouts that occurred. There was a major island-wide blackout, for example, in April. And so the fact that basically because of the water and the landslides, that even before the hurricane Fiona hit, the system basically collapsed, has a lot of people saying, you know, what is going on here? And of course, everyone's pointing fingers, and certainly pointing fingers not only at LUMA, and you mentioned the investigation, but also the broader question of why is Puerto Rico in this shape? Is it because of its persistent governance issues? Is it because, as many Puerto Ricans say, that you know, this austerity has been forced on Puerto Rico by the Financial Oversight Management Board? After the President Obama era debt restructuring that was you try to get its financial affairs in order. And of course, the broader question, which has long been there for Puerto Ricans of, we have, taxation without representation. I mean, it's notable that the Attorney General is talking about an investigation. And yet at the same time, Puerto Rico's, delegate to the U.S. Congress actually is a non-voting member because Puerto Rico does not have that voting status. So this has unearthed a myriad of different issues about Puerto Rico, about the Caribbean, and about, as you alluded to, what the dynamics of global warming or climate change may actually be, and how that affects lives of people in our region.
And the matter of the other islands, it's not just Puerto Rico now, all of these islands, are they fully informed about what could be a change of the new normal with storms? The reason I ask, Professor, is that I do a deal of reporting out of Australia. And this is the third year of La Nina visiting Australia, which has not happened much before. I mean, how many, two or three times in a century. And the meteorologists in Australia are saying we need to adjust for these heavy rains in the spring, in the summer, and even the unusual weather patterns in the wintertime, because the Arctic surge meets with the Indian Ocean dipole, meets with La Nina, and then storms down from the tropics. All of that combination is drenching Australia, overwhelming the dams. They worry about them all the time. So I use that as an analogy. Are the states of the Caribbean, both U.S. and other governances, are they adjusting? Are they informing themselves about what could be the near future?
They are aware, John, and they are also very concerned. And I can tell you from 2009 to 2014, when I headed the gaming program at what's called the William J. Perry Center for Defense Studies, we engaged regularly with our Caribbean defense partners. And virtually every state in the Caribbean has national emergency response systems. The structures are a little bit different, but typically they have instrumented warning systems. The defense forces, the police forces, the various different economic and housing and other ministries are all involved in planning for these things. So every year when you get hurricane season, they are ramping up for this. However, given that there is an acknowledgement that things appear to be getting worse in terms of the number and the severity of storms as they continue to be hitting. And it's interesting that even China, always on a radar screen, especially in the Caribbean, recently convoked a disaster response event within their engagement with the nations of the region, CELAC, in which they were actually offering to provide more help, more instrumentation, more detection capabilities, even exercises with the Caribbean. So even the Chinese are getting on this. But as these, of course, Fiona is only the latest, but this really goes to what is very much, I think, on the minds and radars of many of our partners in the Caribbean.
And the Puerto Rican governance, the challenge here is to restore power, and I understand bring potable water. But with two storms in 5 years evidencing the same thing, is there momentum your measure in the State Department, in the apparatus that is permanent in the federal government, not the political winds that blow this way and that way? Is there momentum to change the infrastructure, to re-engage on the build-out so that the people of Puerto Rico can rely on energy in extreme circumstances and all the time? Evan, I'm here in rural New England, and the electricity grid, when there's a thunderstorm anywhere, you have to think, well, the lights could go out any moment, and then they do, so you get backup generators. That's the kind of thinking that you can adjust if there's momentum for it. Does that exist for the Caribbean?
Well, it's interesting, John, as you pointed out, because Puerto Rico is part of the United States, at least in many senses. It's interesting. So when we deal with Puerto Rico, we deal with the U.S. Disaster Management Organization, FEMA. And I believe FEMA has allocated something like $9.5 billion, although the degree to which that has been effectively spent and how that's being spent is a question. But it's interesting. So state, although they coordinate on these issues with Puerto Rico, the State Department, because it deals with foreign actors, does not get involved. On the other hand, the State Department does get involved with everybody else in the region and their disaster response activities and support. And those channels come through something called OFTA, which, again, oftentimes works in coordination with FEMA. Having worked the military angle, I can tell you that although these are state-led initiatives, with OFTA playing a key role, oftentimes it is also U.S. military assets that are deployed sometimes down into the Guyanese Shield, which is where assets are pre-positioned so that they can support. And also, frankly, there is coordination among the Caribbean states themselves. For example, on the Eastern Caribbean, you have something called the RSS security system, in which they share aircraft and things like that to support each other in disaster response, because if one is pummeled, the assets for responding might be on the other. So this has actually been a long part of the Caribbean community and something that we continue to work on. But as you also allude to, the politics of climate change and global warming, certainly with the current administration, that flavor of understanding what's going on and things like, how do you augment infrastructure for global sea rise and things like that. This has been very much part of the discourse of the current administration.
Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We turn next to the U.N. General Assembly back in New York City after 3 years of the 2 years of the pandemic missed out, and a surprising presentation by the new president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro. This is the New World Report. I'm John Bash.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.